There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Every human being has a basic instinct to help each other out. If a hiker gets lost in the mountains, people coordinate a search. If an earthquake levels the city, people all over the world send emergency supplies. This instinct is found in every culture, without exception.
At around 4:30 a.m., our satellites detected a storm approaching the Ares 3 mission site on Mars. The storm had escalated to severe, and we had no choice but to abort the mission. But during the evacuation, astronaut Mark Watney was killed.
I'm entering this log for the record. This is Mark Watney, and I'm still alive, obviously.
That's an excerpt from the movie The Martian, a trailer for that movie. It's a big star power. It's a big story about a man stranded on Mars. Is it unintentionally also a pro-life message? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to review the movie The Martian. Pastor Ted Giese, our regular movie reviewer, will join us here in the first half hour of the program. After that, our series Christ in the Old Testament will be in Psalm 90 with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. Some very familiar words in Psalm 90. Pastor Chris Roseborough will join us after that. We do a series with him called This Week in Pop American Christianity Today. Christian speaker, author, and actress Priscilla Shire. Now, this is the primary actress in that movie, The War Room, that made some money. It's kind of a movie about, what do they call it, spiritual warfare prayer. She claims, the actress herself, claims that she's got a better way of hearing from God than what she calls hand-me-down revelation. We'll talk about that with Pastor Chris Roseborough. Then, it's Friday, we'll play Issues Etc., soundbite of the week in the last half hour of the program. That's four soundbites we play for you, then you listen. And you give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, and your vote will decide which will be Issues Etc. soundbite of the week in the last half hour of the program on this Friday afternoon, October the 9th. Joining us to review the movie The Martian, Pastor Ted Giese. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd.
Is this film, without giving too much away about the plot itself, is this film perhaps unintentionally a profound pro-life statement?
You know, I think it probably is. I was struck by that kind of line of thinking, both in watching the film and also going through the book. I listened to the audiobook of it, and the movie, even more so than the book, I think, is very positive towards life. Both of them are. I guess in a nutshell, the story is of a astronaut stranded on Mars, left for dead in a rushed evacuation. And then the rest of the story is him trying to stay alive, with death around every turn, and also people trying to rescue him. So the great, enormous value placed on his life shines through in the story.
There's even a statement, I don't know if it makes it into the film, but it certainly is in the book, about the stranded character himself opining and thinking about how it's kind of part, he assigns it to human nature, part of human nature to rally in a crisis like this to save a single individual. Does that make it into the film?
It does, yeah. The line is, every human being has a basic instinct to help each other out. If a hiker gets lost in the mountains, people will coordinate a search. If a train crashes, people will line up to give blood. If an earthquake levels a city, people all over the world will send emergency supplies. And then he says that this is so fundamentally human that it's found in every culture without exception. And then he says, yes, there are, you know, people who just don't care, but they're massively outnumbered by the people who do. And that's a very optimistic way of looking at it, and kind of doesn't really take into account original sin and, you know, the other kind of aspect of what people do when it comes to life in general. And I think we see some of the darker sides of that just every day when we open the paper, when we scroll through something online. You know, we hear about Planned Parenthood, we hear about doctor-assisted suicide, we hear about slavery, we hear about martyrdom of Christians in the Middle East. And it seems like there are lots of pockets and corners and places in the world where life is devalued. But yeah, this film is not focused on that. It's focused on when somebody has great value attached to their life. And the whole world is all focused on him and all working very hard to try to save him.
He also works very hard to stay alive. Talk about that aspect of the film.
Yeah, this is kind of an interesting thing. He wakes up and realizes his predicament, and the story is that Matt Damon's playing this character, and he's both a botanist and an engineer. Both of all the people on this trip to Mars had to have a dual kind of specialty expertise. So he uses his skills with botany and engineering to science his way out of things. So basically, you know, the movie captures quite a bit of this. The book has even more of it. It's kind of like those grade five science questions or math questions, if a train leaves Boston, kind of a deal. But he has to kind of figure out, how much food do I need to survive until they might come back to get me? And he has to figure out how much food he needs to ration, or he has to figure out how to get water that he's going to need to grow the food. All of that kind of stuff, and very carefully working out the science, because if the calculations are wrong, he's dead. And Mars isn't cooperating all of the time with what he wants to do, which is to stay alive.
He starts out kind of in a fatalistic frame of mind. He's going to stay alive as long as he can, but he has zero expectation that anyone even knows he's alive.
Yeah, basically, that's one of his biggest problems is that at the beginning of all of this, he has no communication with NASA whatsoever. And that changes throughout the story, but it changes because of, you know, very cleverly figuring some things out. And that's really interesting. That's kind of like the fun of the story, is watching him kind of work his way through. The other thing that kind of happens in it, and even more so in the book, is that because of the way that he as a character is interacting, he's writing logs, like he's writing like a diary kind of thing. So you become the person that he's talking to. So you yourself become a character in the movie in a way, because the comments are addressed to you. He's talking to you. So it kind of gets you into a frame of mind of thinking of what it would be like if you were stranded someplace, or if you were trying to help somebody who was stranded. It kind of draws you into the story and does a very good job. Ridley Scott, who made the film, does a good job of pulling you into the story.
The book is riddled with kind of gallows humor, because he is in mortal danger quite often.
Yeah.
And yet it's handled by the character, the Whatley character, generally speaking, with kind of a dark sense of humor. Does that come across in the film?
A little bit, but, you know, they have made a movie that's a little more conventional than the book, maybe a little more Hollywood in a couple spots. And I think that they had to tone down some things. So the language is a little more peppered in the book than it is in the movie, because you can only have so many F-bombs before you traverse the distance between being PG-13 and being an R-rated film. And there are moments where he uses expletives because of how challenging situations become. And some of that humor, too, it's maybe not as dark as the book gets in some spots in terms of, like, black comedy, like in terms of, like, a dark kind of sensibility with the humor. So it's a little more friendly to a wider, broader audience maybe than the book is itself is. But yeah, it's definitely that gallows humor kind of, you get the sense of that in the film.
There are elements of religious faith or even kind of tips of hats to Christianity in the film. But by and large, my perception, at least in the book, was that the real religion at work here, the thing that is the thing that everyone's putting their trust in, was in fact engineering and human ingenuity and technology.
Yeah, that the guy who wrote the screenplay, his name is Drew Goddard, and people know him from other things. Like, you might not know who he is, but he wrote episodes for Lost, for Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Most recently, he did the World War Z script. He did a movie called The Cabin in the Woods. These are all movies that he was writing and shows he was writing for. And then also the Daredevil TV show that was just on. So he has little bits of Christian kind of stuff show up in a lot of his writing. But when he wanted to make this movie, he went to the studio, 20th Century Fox, and he said that he didn't want to dumb down the science. He didn't know how to make this movie if he did it. It was crucial. He said it's like a religious movie. In this case, his faith, Watney's faith, is science, not religion. So that kind of comes through loud and clear, but there are still these little nods and tips of the hat and, like, moments that are much more favorable towards Christianity, towards religion, but favors Christianity. There's one moment with a crucifix that comes off different in the movie than it does in the book, and I think that's kind of interesting. Now, you might think to yourself, maybe he's placating an audience out there that he thinks that will be more congenial towards his film if he's more favorable towards Christianity, but he doesn't have to do that, neither does Ridley Scott. But in these recent movies that Ridley Scott's been doing, there have been kind of moments that kind of favor Christian ideas, and that's kind of interesting too. But so you really have these two things. The science thing is the bigger thing because it's really kind of focused on NASA and on that engineering and all that kind of stuff, but it's not without these small moments that are interesting that they're there.
Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. We're reviewing the movie The Martian on this Friday afternoon, October the 9th. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts, and he's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the Christian themes and how they're framed in The Martian.
And we're gonna have a ball just like we always do. Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see?
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Pilgrim Lutheran, Santa Monica, California. Emmanuel Lutheran, Terre Haute, Indiana. Trinity Lutheran, San Angelo, Texas. Trinity Lutheran and Emmanuel Lutheran, Holloway, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Schaumburg, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Pipestone, Minnesota. Real Lutheran Fellowship, Rochester, Minnesota. Living Word Lutheran Church, The Woodlands, Texas. St. James Lutheran, Logansport, Indiana. St. John's Lutheran, State Center, Iowa, and Trinity Lutheran, West Chicago, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. and you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
Do you long for a church that celebrates the divine service with reverence and joy, but without the unbiblical baggage imposed by a supposedly infallible hierarchy? Do you long for a church that confesses a divinely instituted office of the holy ministry for the giving of the Lord's gifts to his people and yet values and lifts high the priesthood of all believers? Welcome to the Lutheran Church. We're what you've been looking for. Find an historic, authentic church near you on the Find a Church page at issuesetc.org.
You know, in between her sleeping for 23 of the 24 hours a day, that 1 hour that we had with her was beyond special to me.
They are crossless. There is no preaching of the scandal that is the cross. It's mentioned, it's a footnote. But we all know what happens with footnotes. You never read them. You never focus on them.
What that means in practice is that if a man who says he feels like a woman today wants to walk into your 12-year-old daughter's restroom at the local pool, you can't complain about it.
It encourages us to continue to speak law and the gospel to situations regardless of the results we see.
There's just a taste of the four soundbites we're going to play for you in the next hour of Issues Etc. We'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. In the meantime, we're reviewing the movie The Martian. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. He taught a course at Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity and the Movies, a Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Let's talk about some more of the Christian themes that one might find in The Martian. How would you frame those themes, Pastor Giese?
Well, I think there's a couple things. One thing is you can watch this movie and think about vocation, right, and particularly the vocation of scientists and engineers. And when they are working at their vocation in the best possible way, they do have a very big, deep care for humans and their life and improving and saving them from trouble. So that comes out loud and clear. So that's kind of an interesting element of the film. The other thing is from the point of view of somebody who loves life and doesn't like to see it destroyed, this movie, you know, flies in the face of abortion and euthanasia and all of those kinds of things where life is cheapened. This is a movie that celebrates life as important and worth saving. So that's something that a Christian can look at, because that's really the fifth commandment. It's the fulfillment of the fifth commandment. That, you know, it's not only that you don't kill somebody, but that you should be working so that, you know, you don't harm a person in their body, but also to help them support their life and every physical need. You know, that kind of stuff is in there. So I think that's interesting. I mean, this is viewer response kind of criticism, where you sit down and you look at the movie and you think to yourself, okay, I see these things that appeal to me, because I've brought my confession of faith with me into the movie theater, and these are the things that are resonating with me. The other moment that I think that pops out is this moment with the crucifix. The crucifix is the only object that's flammable that ends up with him on Mars. It's left behind by a Roman Catholic character. And he takes that crucifix and has to, like, cut it up to make a flammable, like, something to start a little fire. And he says that he, you know, he's counting on the fact that Jesus, right, the one on the cross, that God won't mind the fact that he's using it to save his life. And I think that's kind of an interesting thing. And it's more flippant in the book, and it's more poignant in the movie.
You say that the villain in this movie is, in fact, death itself. Talk about that.
Well, there's all these kind of themes you can have in movies and books and stuff like that. So, yeah, like man versus nature would be one of them. And it's kind of like Watney against Mars. And he has this kind of relationship with Mars. But really the thing standing behind all of that is death itself. Because if he makes a misstep, if something goes the wrong way, death is really the thing that's going to happen to him, and it's going to happen pretty quick because Mars is very cold. he doesn't have very many resources. He's got very little to go on to keep alive. And if anything goes wrong, death is the thing. So you don't have a personification of death, but it's always there. And even in the book, it's more so there. Now, I'm pretty good at keeping track of details as I'm watching movies. And I was watching for all sorts of things as I was going through it. But in the book, there are a couple spots where he says, well, if things go really badly, you know, I've got this medication here and I'm going to take it to, you know, to die, basically, before other things might happen. That's missing in the movie. I didn't hear or see that in the movie. Now, I may have missed that detail, but this whole kind of notion of, like, having to figure out what to do if death is right around the corner, you know, Ridley Scott, whose brother committed suicide and who directed this movie, kind of doesn't have that in this movie at all. Like, as a movie, that is not there. So it has an additional kind of sense of optimism that maybe is even more so than in the book. Now, the book doesn't dwell on that over and over again in a big, deep, dark way, but it's there. So the idea of death is very imminent and very possible at many, many turns. And the movie has that, but it's a very optimistic take on that.
In that vein, I mean, I seem to remember that the book, it does come up several times. It's not a major theme, but it is kind of the main character views this option to take his own life before things get too heinous for him. As kind of he views it in a very non-emotional way, but as an insurance policy. And that's how a lot of people think about it too, Pastor Giese. What are your pastoral thoughts there?
The other day I was listening to one of the programs you guys had on, a segment, and just the idea of that somebody would end their life not so much to put themselves out of misery, but in order to put other people out of misery because it would be miserable to take care of them or miserable to take things on. I think, you know, none of us are one person alone on a planet. We all have actual other people around us, and we may feel really super lonely. And if you're listening right now and you feel super lonely and you feel like everything is crashing down on you and there's no way out, you do not have to take suicide as a route out. Doctor-assisted suicide or suicide of any kind, it doesn't have to happen. You do not have the limited amount of resources that this fictional character, Mark Watney, has on Mars. And there are people who are going to help you stay alive, and you don't have to take that route out. That would be my pastoral thoughts in that regard. The character takes it kind of very pragmatically in the book, but interestingly, he never goes there. He never does it. And neither does anyone have to. There will be people who will help.
Finally, are there any audiences you think should not be watching the film?
Some people find, like, this is really a thriller. People might remember the movie Gravity from a couple years ago. And you don't have to like science fiction to see this movie and enjoy it. But if thrillers really bother you, if you find yourself pacing the floor because it's too tense, you know, this might not be the movie for you if you want something a little more laid back. Little kids, it's not going to be maybe as engaging as they would like, but teenagers and adults who like, it's a beautiful, beautiful movie too. Like, it's gorgeous to look at. It's very interesting. It's done very artfully as well. So, I would say that if you have a real problem with tense moments, then maybe you want to avoid it.
Folks, you want to be sure to read Pastor Ted Giese's review of the movie The Martian at our website, issuesztc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he's taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Thanks, Ted.
Thank you.
When we come back on this Friday afternoon, Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will join us. He does every week for our regular series, Christ in the Old Testament. Today we're going to be in a very familiar psalm. Almost every single verse of Psalm 90 is very familiar to Christians. It's found its way up through the liturgy, through Christian thinking, through kind of in a proverbial way as well. But where is Christ in this very familiar psalm? We'll answer that question with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer right after this.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
Here at Elm Grove Evangelical Lutheran Church, you'll find folks just like you, sinners in need of what only Christ can give, the full forgiveness of all of our sins. In a world where change turns things upside down, we serve a Lord who never changes and who has promised to be with us always until the very end of the age. If you find yourself in the Milwaukee suburbs, look us up. Elm Grove Evangelical Lutheran Church is the only Lutheran church in Elm Grove, Wisconsin.
South Africa.
China.
Germany.
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues Etc. around the world?
India.
Sweden.
Egypt.
France.
Turkey.
Japan.
Australia.
Canada.
United Kingdom.
Hong Kong.
Austria.
Finland.
Malaysia.
Singapore.
Bulgaria.
Korea.
Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines.
Mexico.
Spain.
New Zealand.
Kuwait.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Church's music from the 20th century. The 17th century. The 11th century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the Church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.